Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Mole. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. You know, friends, this past 55 years have passed so fast. My stars in the morning. I've had some wonderful experiences, and I've had some bad ones. But, you know, the good outweighs the bad. I can remember when we first started and I started preaching. Oh, my stars, I'll tell you right now. I struggled. Oh, how I struggled. But it was a learning experience. We need to lean on the Lord and not our own understanding, because if we lean on our own, we're going to fall flat of our face. Well, listen, friends, I'm going to be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Pour your glass of ice to your cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. The American family and the U.S. government are in agreement about one thing. Neither of them can live within their income. Well, friends, tonight I'd like to speak to you about the desires of the disciples. And I read to you from the 13th chapter of John, the 36th verse. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And then I read in John 14, 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, friends, listen. Jesus prepares his disciples for his coming death. Now, believe me, dear friends, it was a struggle for those men to know that Jesus was going to have to leave. They really, really wanted Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom here. And they really thought that's what he was going to do. But after traveling all these years with him, all of a sudden, they're faced with a problem. He's going to leave us. Now, these were difficult days ahead for them. They struggled with it. I know partially what they felt like. I knew from the time I was about 6 years old that my mother wouldn't be with us long, because she had a congenital heart disease, and there was nothing in those days they could do about it. My stars, they can give you heart transplants today. They can give you new valves. They can do a myriad of things for you, but in those days they couldn't do it. Well, I knew that I was going to have to say goodbye to her. I tried to prepare my heart. I did everything to think, someday she's not going to be with me no more. Well, I was 13 when my mother passed, and I know what a terrible, terrible feeling that was. These disciples loved Jesus. They'd seen him in every situation. They'd seen him in storms. They'd seen him, oh, there's so many things they saw him do. Heal the blind, raise the dead. He did a great things. But now, they're going to have to say goodbye to him. Well, important instruction will be given. The disciples have some personal questions and desires. First, Peter wants to follow Jesus. Now, Thomas wants to know the way to heaven. Philip wants to see the Father. But you know what? Jesus had an answer for every one of those questions. You ask some questions tonight, and you want to know the future's going to hold, and you're going to want to know if you're going to lose your house or you're going to lose your job. People in America are frustrated. We see the news. All we see is unrest around the world. Now, the Bible said in the last days, nations shall weigh against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. And you say, well, is he coming this week? Why, shoot, I couldn't tell you. If I wanted to, I couldn't. There's only one person that could give you that answer, and that's God the Father. But he said, always be waiting, looking, watching, because he shall come as a thief in the night. No man knows but the Father when Jesus shall return. Now, when he returns, if you're unsaved, you're going to go through 7 horrible years of terrible things to happen. The Antichrist shall raise his ugly head. These disciples do all those things. You and I know them. And the question I ask you, are you ready? Have you put your trust and faith in Christ today? Do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? What does he say in 1 John 5:13? This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. No hope so. No, I think so. I'd like to. He said, you shall know. Now, the desire of Peter is to follow Jesus. And we read in John 13:37, it says, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. But you know what Jesus answered? Wilt thou lay down thy life for me, for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall crow 3 till... The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter didn't understand that. But boy, howdy, just a little farther down the road, he certainly did. Jesus had already told Peter he could not follow him then. Whether I go, thou canst not follow me now. He would be able to follow Jesus a little bit later. But see, Peter was trying to force God's plan into his timetable. Does that sound familiar to you? We've all been guilty of that. Oh, my stars, we have. You know what I did one time after I was saved? I haven't been saved very long. I was having breakfast with my wife, and she said, what are you going to do today? I said, I'm going to go down and buy me a Cadillac car. And she just smiled. And I did. But you know what? That was what I wanted. I didn't consult the Lord. I didn't say, Lord, do you want me to have this green Cadillac car? But I'm going to tell you something. God taught me a tremendous lesson by getting that car. Listen, friends, I always wanted a Cadillac. I kept that thing spotless, shining, washed, waxed. And one day, on a Sunday morning, my pastor said, you know, I saw one of our men out there washing his car on a Sunday. And I thought, oh my, he must have saw me. Well, it wasn't me he was talking about, but he did see somebody. Now, you say, well, what lesson did you learn from it, Cecil? Well, I'll tell you. I was down in Oakland, California, and I was preaching in a large, huge rescue mission. And I drove up in front of the mission with this shiny green Cadillac car. I had my Hart Shafter Mark suit on and had my brand new Thompson chain Bible tucked under my arm. And just as I walked into the door, I heard two men, two Muffins there at the Skid Row, said, "Boy, oh boy, that preaching must really be paying off." It was like a knife in my heart. That green Cadillac now was standing in my way. Did you know what I did the next day? I went down and I traded that green Cadillac off. They say, "Cecil, there's nothing wrong with a green Cadillac or a Cadillac." Absolutely not. But you see, I wanted to do it my way and not God's way. But God used that to teach me a lesson. Now, Peter was trying to force God's plan into his timetable, but you see, on the day of Pentecost, which was a very important day, the day that God's Holy Spirit was released in our world, God had to have a special preacher for that day. Now, you would think he'd have called anybody but Peter, because Peter denied him thrice. Peter was obnoxious. He did so. Oh, I'm so much like Peter that it scares me. But, dear friends, God said, "Peter, you're the man that's going to bring the messages." 3,000 were saved at one meeting and 5,000 at the next. Peter was a man of God when he was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Beloved, listen to me. You don't have to be a willy-nilly and be frightened all the time when you're out witnessing and sharing Christ. Depend upon Him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will show you. He will tell you what to say. Peter found that out. Yet he denied Jesus 3 times. Stood at the fire with those heathens at that kangaroo court. Now, there was nothing wrong with Peter's dedication. And there was nothing wrong with his basic desire. But it was not God's time. Maybe, beloved, tonight you're trying to crowd God's time in your time. It's got to be His way or the highway, that's what we used to say. Many have tried to do the will of God on their own terms. Well, you know what, friends? This is sure to bring failure. God's... Excuse me, I'm having throat trouble tonight. God's way and His time are always best. Now, the desires of Thomas to know the way to heaven, John 14:5. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Well, how did Jesus answer that? Jesus saith, "And I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I told you this story years ago about when I was pastoring in Oregon. There was an alcoholic who had lost his roofing business, and his wife left him. He sold his home, and he went out and lived it up in riotous living, spent all the money that he made from his home. Now, he woke up one morning drunk and broke, and he called his wife and said, "Honey, will you take me back?" And that poor, simple-minded woman took that alky back. So I went to this home. Being as an old roofer, I thought we might have something in common. So I shared with him and how I met Jesus, and I shared him the heartaches, the time I'd sold my wife's car when I was drunk, and I'm so ashamed of that, but I did it. And he said, "You know, Cecil," now this is exactly what he said, "Cecil, you know what? I really appreciated you telling me this beautiful story, and it is a beautiful story. And I want everything that you have, but I don't want Jesus to get it. I said, you don't want Jesus. He said, absolutely not. I said, well, then you'll never find it. Now, he said that, you got to come to Jesus. You can't circumvent Jesus. Because Jesus was the one that God the Father sent into the world to die for your sins and mine, to pay for our salvation. See, our salvation was bought, purchased in the precious blood of Jesus. No, you can't go to the Father except you come through Jesus. Now, he said, how can we know the way? Now, Thomas had just heard the most loving text on heaven. Jesus was going to prepare mansions. He would prepare the special place for them. He would come again and receive them unto himself. Well, Thomas wanted to make sure he would be included. He wanted time in those mansions. You say, Cecil, do you really understand those mansions? No, I don't. But, beloved, if God said they were mansions, that's what they're going to be. And you know what? You won't need no lights in the mansion because there are going to be no nights there. And you know what? You won't need any doctors to take care of you because you won't be sick. You'll have a perfect body. I can't envision me not having arthritis or having COPD. It's pretty hard for me to envision that, but that's what he said. And then he went on to say something even better. I shall wipe away your tears and be your God. That's what he said. He was willing to do anything to get there, but he lacked assurance of heaven. He should have been sure of heaven. Jesus said, and the way you know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Jesus said, you should know the way. Those who know Jesus know the way to heaven. Now, Jesus settles it for Thomas when he said, I am the way, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He should have known that. Well, the truth that the mind of man may comprehend it, the life that the heart of man may experience it. Now, the desire of Philip to see the Father in 14:8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices it. Let us see the Father, and we will be satisfied. Now, don't that seem like a reasonable request? Hey, how many times have you went to bed, laid down on your pillow, and God reminded you of somebody that you're supposed to pray for? And you lay there and you think a while, and, well, okay, you'll pray for that person. But I want you to know, beloved, when God lays somebody on your heart to pray for them, do it. Maybe, did you know what? This could shock you. Maybe tomorrow you'll be thinking about the Lord or reading the scriptures or praying, and God will tell you to send somebody $100 or $50 or whatever. Well, you can't afford to do that. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. You can't afford not to do it. Oh, beloved, it's more blessed to give than receive. And the disciples was taught that all through Jesus' ministry about giving, about going, about telling. And you and I have the same obligations to the Lord as the disciples of old. Now, they did not have television. They did not have a radio or newspapers, I guess. So they used camels. They used burros, they used ships, and they used their feet to take the gospel to people. Had they not, you and I would not be even hearing the gospel today. We're fortunate that those men went out and did exactly what God called them to do. Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. Let us see the Father and we'll be satisfied. It seemed like a reasonable request, but it reveals that Philip hadn't been listening. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. The mystery of the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe this. To know about the Holy Spirit, listen to Jesus. To know about Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit. To know about the Father, observe Jesus. I've been talking to a friend of mine the other day. You know, there is no jealousy in the Godhead. No, they're not. Well, let me ask you, what are your desires? Are they similar to those of the disciples? Now listen to me. This is great. The soul's greatest desires are all fulfilled in Jesus. Not the church, not your preacher, but in Jesus. Oh, Christ died for the church. I mean, the church, believe me, we're his bride. But sometimes the bride hasn't been doing too good. We've been disobedient. We spend more time figuring out how can we get home in time from church to get the ball game on. Now, listen, I would be very untruthful if I told you I didn't love football, because I do. I would be untruthful if I said I didn't love my Nuggets. I'd be telling you a lie. But they don't come before me and the Lord Jesus. Here's time for them to, but put Jesus first and you won't have no problem. You say, Cecil, you make it sound pretty clear. Well, it is clear. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have, I have. And the only way to get to heaven is by repenting of our sins and inviting Christ into our hearts. Have you done that? Do you know who you're going tonight if you were to die? I have to tell you this because I am commissioned. I am called to tell people how to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father except by me. That's what the disciples preached, and that's what Cecil's preaching tonight. You say, Cecil, all right. You win, I lose. No, you don't lose. You have a tugging at your heart, beloved, tonight. If you do, won't you just bow your head with me just for a moment? Don't pray this prayer unless you mean it. But here's how it goes. Oh, dear Lord, in Jesus' precious name, I realize tonight, Lord, I'm undone. I'm lost. And if the Bible's right, and I know it is, I'm doomed and damned and on the road to a devil's hell. Lord, I want to change that tonight. So I'm asking you to forgive me. And then I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Oh, I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. Only concern where you spend eternity. Is that wrong? Of course not. I love people. I know I was lost, doomed, and damned, and no alcoholic for years. But when I met Jesus, he changed all of that. He gave me peace. He wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life and assured me eternal, everlasting life. You could have that tonight if you prayed that prayer. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please continue to pray for my wife and I and our health. We are struggling with our health, but you know what? God is able. He's able to handle us, able to help us, and we do appreciate your prayers. Pray that God will give us souls for our hire. That's what we want to do, is introduce souls to Christ and tell them the joys of heaven. They're there. It's all in the book. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Oh, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.